What is up, Chi Alpha? Welcome to the Anchor Room podcast. We are so excited to come at you through the airwaves. My name is Rigo, and I serve here on staff with Chi Alpha. I'm usually the guy messing up the cameras behind the scenes, and now I'm messing up the podcasts behind the scenes. And I'm joined here with the one, the only...
It's Pete Bulette, and Rigo is the one who makes the magic happen behind the scenes. He's the one that makes all of it possible, our technical expert here locally, and a man of many talents. And my name is Pete, as I said, and I'm the director of Chi Alpha, and I'm excited about this podcast, Rigo.
Yeah, this is going to be a really fun time that we have here together. I don't really know where all it's going to go, but we're going to figure it out as we go. But yeah, let us tell you a little bit about what the heart of this podcast, the heart of this time together. And basically, as a staff, we were thinking of ways to connect with you guys out there in light of not being able to see you face-to-face as much during M&Ls and things like that. And so we wanted to just afford a way to communicate maybe some more details about the sermon, the message, and communicate other aspects about the life of Chi Alpha in between. What else would you say, Pete?
Well, you know, with the current restrictions, we're trying to make sure our meeting's a little bit shorter than it was last year, which means that they have told me I don't have as long to share on Mondays. And so it means I have to just go for the gold and kind of cut away some things. But it will give me some opportunity to discuss things that maybe I didn't have time to discuss in the message at Monday night. Give some things that ended up on the cutting room floor but are extremely valuable and insightful. Yeah. Definitely. As we study, and an opportunity to flesh out questions to find out what is out there, what are people thinking.
Right.
Because, as you know, Revelation can definitely bring some questions to mind.
Oh, yeah.
And so give us some opportunity to answer some of those questions.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, as we said, we are excited to kick things off. And what would a podcast be if it didn't have a little bit of fun and levity to it? So... we wanted to start off in a way that might be familiar to some of you who have been in core groups. And for those of you who are beginning the journey into core groups, this will probably be a part of your core group moving forward. But we're going to talk about some highs. And so, Pete, why don't you tell me about one of your summer highs this past summer?
Well, I would say... the first thing that comes to my mind was my trip to Michigan. Followed up closely by seeing my family in Illinois. Love my family. Nice. But we went up to Michigan, and it was 70 to 75 degrees every day.
That's what heaven's going to be like.
Yes, I believe so. And while we were there, here in Virginia, it was like 100 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
so I was feeling good about being up there. We just had a wonderful time with family.
Yeah.
And my oldest son, Ian, was able to bring a friend on vacation with him. Okay. First time we've done that.
Yeah.
But they had a great time, and we had a great time as a family. So really enjoyed that. How about you, Rigo? What was your high?
Yeah, well... probably not quite as scenic as yours, but my wife Abigail and I, we splurged a little bit this summer, and we bought ourselves a 30-year-old fixer-upper pop-up camper.
There you go.
That we have been slowly renovating. We are completely inexperienced in this area. I have never pop-up camped before. this is all kind of new to me. I am not a handyman at all, but I've been learning as I've been going, and I can tell you, it has definitely been in the 100s in Virginia, because I've been out there sweating in the summer heat. But you know what? I've been thankful, because it's given me something to do, something to stay busy. And, you know, in light of maybe not being able to hit the gym as often as I'd like to, I'm able to, you know, pop it up with the pop-up camper a bit.
Well, that sounds very hipster of you to buy a pop-up camper and remodel it. So well done.
Thanks. We even have a little Instagram for it. Follow us at poppy_thepopupcamper at Instagram. I might have butchered the handle, but you get them. You'll find it or whatever.
You know you're cool when your pop-up camper has an Instagram account.
And when your pop-up Instagram camper profile has more followers than your regular profile. I don't know what that says about me, but you know, we'll figure it out.
I wouldn't dive too deeply into that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of diving in deeply, let's talk a little bit about our series that we find ourselves in. So, for those of you who were able to come to Monday Night Live Stream this week. Yeah. We have started a series this semester in the book of Revelation. And so we're going to kind of dive in a little deeper into the topic that we discussed on Monday. And we're going to start it off with some very important questions that we received from you guys out there. So every week, we're going to be discussing some questions that we receive. And so we invite you to submit your questions at xa@uva.mnl. That's where you can submit your questions. And so the very first question that I think is a very important one, Pete, and this question cannot be ignored when talking about this topic.
All right, bring it on.
But the question was basically about, I don't know if you want to call it a missed opportunity or I don't know, but why didn't staff call the Revelation series Beast Mode?
Well, that is a creative question, I must admit. I would say we want the fact that Revelation is actually a hopeful book to be front and center.
Definitely.
And so Beast Mode, while there are a couple beasts, one coming out of the sea, one on the land, we want to lean towards the hopeful realities that are in Revelation, and that really is the heart of the apostle John as he wrote the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
So yeah, that I have to give him some creativity points on that one.
Beast mode. Maybe we'll consider it next time. But maybe what were some honorable mentions of what we did consider calling it?
Well, I laughed last night. Josh Fairchild called it the Mask of the Beast, which I found pretty funny.
The Mask of the Beast.
He is one witty man. As we were all wearing our masks, running around, getting ready for the meeting, he called it the Mask of the Beast.
His glasses were probably fogging up.
Oh, they were.
You know, trying to, you know, deal with equipment and whatnot. And the Mask of the Beast. Yeah, that's definitely what it feels like. Unfortunately, that question was anonymous. So whoever submitted that question, hey, you missed out on the prize. So
yeah, I was going to give him a free t-shirt.
Hey, you know, so you snooze, you lose. So the prize is definitely going to go tonight to one very special student called Matthew Huff.
All right.
And his question is the following. And for this question, what are we giving him for this question, Pete?
I think we should give him a brand new Chi Alpha t-shirt. That's what I'm thinking.
You know, I think that sounds like a pretty good deal. We have some sweet new t-shirts coming out pretty soon here. So, Matt, you got one for free, my man. Anyway, here is Matt's question regarding the series we just said. So in verse 7, it says all people will mourn because of Jesus. Why would people mourn because of Jesus? What do you have to say about that, Pete?
Yeah, I think we need to back up into the context of the book of Revelation. And let me just maybe give a little bit of context about the book of Revelation before we deal with that specific question. As I said last night, Revelation in the Greek is apocalypse. And when we think of apocalypse, we either think of the snowpocalypse that we had here when we got like 23 inches of snow several years ago or something kind of dramatic happening that is kind of devastating. That's what we often think of in our culture. But apocalypse simply means to reveal. And so that's why it's called the book of Revelation. It's the book of revealing.
Right. And one revelation, right? Not revelations.
You got it. You got it. It's not plural. It's singular. And it's ultimately the revelation of Jesus. Or even you could say the revelation of the triune God, but specifically of Jesus as the book unfolds. And so it is a revelation of ultimate reality. And so it gives us this heavenly perspective and as Sean Gallion said, what the heaven's going on.
I love that.
And then it gives us an eschatological perspective, which is a fancy way of saying it gives us a perspective of where history is going.
Right, yeah.
And then how we can live in light of where history is going, of how the story ends, how history ends. And so it gives us these two lenses. One is a heavenly perspective. The other is the eschatological perspective. And so the reason why this was so important is because the churches in Asia Minor, the seven churches that Revelation is written to, are suffering and they're in persecution.
Yeah.
And they're facing Roman persecution. Mm-hmm. And so this question brings up a lot of this background because it says all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him.
Mm.
Well, throughout the book of Revelation, there's a couple places where it talks about the inhabitants of the earth mm-hmm. and the people of the earth. And so it has this understanding where there are the people of God
mm.
and then there are the inhabitants of the earth. In other words, they live in a, what I would maybe say a two-dimensional mm-hmm. reality mm-hmm. where they 2D. Ignore God, right? So yeah. they are not living in relationship with God. They're not the people of God. And so you have the people of God in Revelation. Then you have the people of the earth or the inhabitants mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the earth. And that is a way of speaking towards Rome
mm-hmm.
and mm-hmm. the people who were in allegiance to Rome and alliance to Rome. And so when it says all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him,
mm-hmm.
it's speaking of those who aren't the people of God,
mm-hmm.
who have sided with Rome and are yeah. currently being hostile mm. to God's people, to God's church, yeah. to the church of Jesus Christ, and the people who pierced Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. who crucified him, which was the Roman mm-hmm. Empire. And yeah. so it starts just a couple verses up, which is actually quoting Zechariah, mm-hmm. and it talks about how every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And then the addition, all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. They mm. will realize how wrong they were
mm.
when he comes back to consummate mm. history.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's referring to, is that, and what an encouraging message to mm-hmm. the church that one day they will be vindicated, and yeah, those right. that are persecuting them and those that are yeah. putting pressure upon mm-hmm. them will realize the folly of their ways yeah. and mourn because of that folly.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I think for me, that's probably one of the reasons why I appreciate the imagery and the hopefulness of the book of Revelation, because it means that our suffering in this world and all the injustices that we might experience, whether it's for our faith or because of the sin of humanity, that Jesus will come and vindicate us, that in Jesus, we will have ultimate justice. And to me, that is a hopeful tune of this amazing work that we have in the book of Revelation. And so I know that even in recent history, even in recent times, maybe the church as a whole has maybe needed some hope. And so right. you talked a lot about this on Monday, about the hope we see that John is and Jesus is revealing to a church a new hope to a church that is suffering. Mm-hmm. And so how might we use this work and this book as an encouragement today? Because it wasn't written exactly to us, but it was written for us.
Right.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Revelation has been used to fuel a lot of speculation, as I mentioned in my message.
And a lot of bad movies.
that may be true as well. And a lot of charts. And I want to be respectful to people who take the specific view of Revelation that leads mm-hmm. to lots of charts. But I was struck the very beginning of the book of Revelation. It says in verse 3, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart,
mm.
what is written in it, because the time is near." And the mm-hmm. point is this. It says, you will be blessed if you hear it and take it to heart. In other words, it is to impact the way we live today.
Yeah.
We are to take it to heart. We are to put it into yeah. action. And that means that it's not just a book for speculation about mm-hmm. the future,
mm-hmm.
but it's a book about discipleship, and right. it's to motivate us towards faithfulness and hope
yes.
and obedience
yeah.
and mission. And yeah. so the tragedy is a book that is supposed to be so inspiring for our present
yeah.
has often been relegated
mm.
as confusing and something that mm-hmm. is just about the distant future, and I don't need
right.
to worry about that. And this book has so much to offer us. And so and it, by the way, verse 3 is the first of 7 blessings mm. that is found throughout the book of Revelation,
mm-hmm.
which is 7 is a number of wholeness and mm-hmm. fullness mm-hmm. in the book of Revelation. What a beautiful thing. There's 7 blessings that
yeah.
are pronounced in this book. So as we embrace the truth of this book, it mm-hmm. brings the fullness of blessing that ultimately culminates in the recreation
yeah.
of all things. And so it's a powerful
yeah.
book.
That's one of my absolute favorite images in all of Scripture, FYI, if anybody cares. But, yeah, you mentioned, yeah, this is for today, not just something like a roadmap for what's coming up in the future, what to look out for, but something for our discipleship today. And so I know that you've been taking a lot of notes. You've been reading a few resources, and in 30 minutes through via a live stream is definitely not enough time to unpack this or this introductory message on Revelation. So is there anything that you would like to address that maybe you felt like you wanted more time on Monday? Or yeah, anything else that you'd like to emphasize as we start this podcast and tackle this first week that you just spoke on?
Yeah, there's a couple things that came to my mind. They were in my message. I just had to cut them because I didn't have time. But one of them were the three titles that are given to Jesus in verse 5. They're so powerful. By the way, verse 4 and 5 are so powerful. Verse 4 introduces us to God the Father. And I talked about this, the God who is and who was and who is to come. And then it introduces us to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's referred to as the seven spirits before his throne. And this is just a symbolic imagery of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, if you will.
Yeah.
And then it introduces us to Jesus. So you get the Trinity right here. And it gives us three titles for Jesus, who is the faithful witness, number one, the firstborn from the dead, number two, and number three, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now think about this. If you are a suffering church, where Christians are starting to be martyred. We see in chapter 2, verse 13, that Antipas and Pergamon had been martyred, and there had probably been other martyrs as well. To hear these titles of Jesus, number one, he is the faithful witness. In other words, he is the, by the way, the word witness in the Greek is martyr. It didn't necessarily mean someone who died for the faith, but later, as people were martyred because of their witness, the Greek word started to mean those who gave their life in witness to Jesus. And so think about, as people are losing their life because of their faithfulness to Jesus, to hear that Jesus was the first faithful witness to the truth, the first faithful witness. And so as you would read this, you would say, wow, Jesus was the first. In other words, we follow in the footsteps of our Savior.
Yeah.
And then because of him losing his life as a faithful witness to the truth, the next title, he's the firstborn from the dead, that he was victorious over death, which is this picture that he is the one who will usher in new creation.
Yeah.
And so this powerful reality that these people who it may cost them everything to follow Jesus to know that he was victorious and he will be the one who ushers in new creation.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
Then ultimately is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now think about this, Rigo. If you lived in the Roman Empire and your life was dominated by the symbols of Roman dominance,
right,
from the coins to the architecture, everywhere you looked spoke of the dominance of Rome, to hear that your Savior is also the ruler of the kings of the earth.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, what a powerful introduction to Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And so how hopeful that would have been on so many levels to this persecuted church.
Yeah.
And how that would encourage them in their day-to-day life.
Yeah. And I think it's just also a helpful reminder even to us today of who Jesus is. Despite anything that might face us, Jesus is the ruler of all. Jesus is above all of it. And this is such a beautiful reminder, even at the very beginning of this book. We haven't even gotten to the second paragraph. And there's already such a big proclamation of who Jesus is, and as a beautiful reminder, an image to his followers to remember of who Jesus is in the time that they were in. This is so beautiful.
Yes. And the other thing that struck me, I didn't have time to go into it totally last night, but in verse 5 and 6, where it speaks of what Jesus does, who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. This is an allusion back to the Passover. How did God set his people free in the Passover? It was through the blood of the Lamb, right? And so when it says that he freed us, this time not by the blood of the Lamb, but by his very blood, Jesus set us free by his very blood. And so in the Passover, of course, we know that they were spared the wrath of the judgment that was coming on Egypt. And they were spared because they had the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost. And here we see that they will be spared the wrath of the judgment that's coming upon Rome and upon really the city of man, the civilizations of man that are hostile to God, that they will be spared because of the blood of Jesus, which is a reference to the Passover. And then when they are brought out of Egypt in the Passover, it says that they are to become a kingdom and priests. Mm. That was the purpose of Israel, that they would be a kingdom, they would be God's people, and they would be priests. They would have a relationship with him and reflect his nature to the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And what does it say? It says that they would be set free by the blood of Jesus, and that they would be made into kingdoms and priests. In other words, they would have the same vocation that Israel had when they were set free out of Egypt. And it's just this powerful thing. There are over 400 references to the Old Testament in the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
And so this picture of how Jesus is our Passover, and of course, the picture of a lamb will become really important as we go through this book, and how we are now to be take over the vocation that Israel as the people of God had, that we as the church now have that vocation to be the people who put our God on display by serving him, by being about his kingdom, and who walk in relationship with him. So it's just a powerful allusion to the Old Testament that is speaks to really what God has for our lives.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I definitely, you know, I take that for, as we've been talking for today as well, that God has made us into a kingdom and a priesthood onto him here at UVA on these grounds. That
that's right.
God is establishing our community and giving us a voice to tell the world of who he is as we live in relationship, as we live devotionally to him, as we live anchored, as we say here in Chi Alpha, to him. He has made us into this kingdom. And I love that picture of completion and the way that, you know, this book even references Old Testament, you know, kind of like as a way to say, hey, this is a completion of all that. This is
right.
This is where it's going. And in Jesus, we have our completion.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's so much good stuff in here. And I have been enthralled by the book of Revelation as I've studied. And I am so excited, frankly, about teaching as much as we possibly can through this semester and helping us get a vision, a revelation of the glory of Jesus. And so it's going
to
be great.
Yeah. Semester. Well, I know I'm definitely excited to keep going on, and there's a whole lot more good stuff coming up. I can't wait. And so, yeah, hey, one question that I do have personally that maybe could help some students out there is if somebody is looking to maybe take a deeper dive into Revelation, are there any resources that you would recommend or a resource that you would recommend for them?
Yeah, I've read a lot of books on Revelation, and probably the one that I would recommend first is a book called Reverse Thunder by Eugene Peterson. Mm. And it is such a beautiful book that it's not a commentary. It just gives the themes of Revelation and artfully and beautifully kind of expounds on those themes. And so Reverse Thunder would probably be the first book I'd recommend. And there's other books. There's a book by Richard Bauckham that I have here. It's called The Book of Revelation.
Hey, there we go.
The Theology of the Book of Revelation.
Theology of
And it's only, what I like about this book, it's only like 160 pages.
Oh, there you go.
So it's definitely a book that you can tackle.
Yeah, UVA students can eat that for lunch.
That's right. That's right. So those are a couple books that come to my mind. But yeah, I would encourage people to dive more into some of the resources that are out there that would help them have a good grasp of what the book of Revelation is all about.
Great. Well, thanks for sharing, Peter. I think that information will be valuable for many. And yeah, I just want to send a shout out again to class of 2024 and any new transfers and new students who are tuning in and listening to us, watching us for the first time. We are so excited that you are a part of our community, and we can't wait to meet you face and face with all the appropriate guidelines.
Mask to mask.
Mask to mask. that's a better way to put it. Mask to mask. We're so excited to meet you mask to mask in a near future. And in the meantime, hey, stay connected to us, follow us on our website, follow us on Instagram, And yeah, continue being a part of our community. We are so excited for what God is going to do, how he's going to establish his kingdom here at UVA and through our community. So we can't wait to hear and see you guys later. Peace out.